This morning I invite you to open up your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 as we look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ and how each of the responses to his resurrection go from wandering and confusion to then remembering what God said and then recognizing Jesus Christ. Before we turn our attention to God's word this morning, let's ask him for his blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we turn to your word, please give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints and your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse 1. As we turn our attention to God's word, let's pay careful attention because this is God speaking to us. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it's towards evening and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. While he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace to you. But they were startled and frightened, and they thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bone, as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, have you anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Then he said to them, these are my words that I have spoken to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, have you ever run into someone that seems familiar, but you just can't place them? Where do I know them from? You might think to yourself, and you smile to them, and you make small talk, and later that day it comes to you, I should have remembered who he was. And all the memories and the stories come flooding back. He was in my brother's class, or I went to college with her, or I met them at a wedding. Or maybe you meet an old friend from high school at your 50-year class reunion. And at first you don't recognize him or her, but then all of a sudden you realize who it is. I know that face. I recognize them. I just can't place them. And then later on you realize, oh, that's who that was. It's kind of like the travelers on the road to Emmaus. Did not our hearts burn within us? Same with the women, same with the disciples. They go from being confused about what's going on, first of all, wondering what's happening, trying to make sense of it, to then being reminded of what Jesus told them, being reminded of God's word, and then recognizing, third and finally, Jesus, and sharing that good news. So we go from wandering to remembering to recognizing. Now there's a lot that's happening in our passage this Easter morning. Christ has risen, and at first people just can't seem to place him. They're left confused, and then they remember, and then finally they recognize Jesus. Look at verse 30. In light of celebrating the Lord's Supper this morning, he was known to them in the breaking of bread. So they remembered and they recognized when he broke the bread and gave it to them. This do in remembrance of me. And in Luke, this recognizing is the same as believing. It's recognizing Jesus in faith. It's believing in him, placing your faith in him. Seeing Jesus with the eyes of faith. This passage this morning is going to bring us from wandering to remembering and then recognizing. And Luke's point through it all is recognizing Jesus. That's our theme this morning. Recognizing Jesus. Believing in Jesus. And so first of all, wandering. Wondering what is happening? Because at first it's not clear. We start with the example of the women at the beginning of chapter 24. They're the first ones to the scene. They had laid Jesus to rest in that tomb. If you have your Bibles open, you can look back to the end of chapter 23. There he was laid. Verse 55, the women had come from Galilee, followed. They saw where the tomb was, where his body was laid, and they returned home. They went home and got the spices ready, but the next day was the Sabbath. So now they're coming back to the tomb. And the tomb is open. And they're confused. What's going on? There's no body. They're perplexed, they're bewildered. What is going on? This is not how it's supposed to be. Jesus dying and now Jesus missing doesn't make sense. It's not what they expected. And we need to take a moment just to place ourselves in their shoes to understand the confusion that they would be experiencing. Because what they're experiencing is the greatest miracle ever. And they're having a hard time wrapping their minds around it. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most important, most amazing event that has ever taken place. It's about a man who was killed, and then his heart dead, flatlined, and then his heart started pumping blood again. His lungs filled with oxygen. His eyes opened. He has risen. And the women hear the angel saying this, but they're still trying to wrap their minds around it. And their confusion because of the empty tomb is understandable. Imagine having a funeral. Someone you love, someone you care about. Having the graveside service at the cemetery. And then later going back to finish things up, maybe putting some flowers on the grave or something. And when you get there, you discover a 6-foot-deep hole and an open vault and casket with no body inside. Our first reaction would be probably wondering, what's going on? Is this some kind of sick joke? Did I miss something? Probably wouldn't be thinking resurrection in that moment. And that's what the women are going through. They're trying to figure out what is happening. They are confused. We have the same thing on the Emmaus Road. Here you have two individuals who are journeying from Jerusalem to the town of Emmaus, and they're wondering what's going on. They're processing. They can't quite figure out what has just happened. It doesn't make sense. Jesus was a powerful prophet, and he was crucified, and now we hear that his body is gone, and there's angels who say that he's alive. And they pretty much recount Christ's entire story and even his resurrection, but they don't get it yet. The light doesn't turn on for them. They're not connecting the pieces yet. Verse 16 tells us that they are kept. Their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Kept in the dark, so to speak. And then Cleopas lets it all out. His confusion, his sadness, his depression, his disillusionment, even his shrinking faith and his anger. Did Jesus fail us? We had hoped that he was going to redeem Israel. Now what? Now this failure to recognize, this being kept in the dark, is something that God is doing. God is the one who's going to give them the ability to see. But first, what we see here is this confusion. Wondering, what's going on? And you see it in the disciples at the end of our passage. When the women tell the disciples what had happened, they don't believe them because their words seem like nonsense, like idle tales. Verse 11, later when Jesus shows up, they are startled and they're frightened. Verse 41, and while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveled, he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" So there we see they're still confused. They still don't understand it. They're still trying to figure this out. This is an incredible thing that has just happened. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they're having a hard time wrapping their minds around it. They're having a hard time responding in faith. Now, what are the roadblocks to our faith? When we try to understand the resurrection of Jesus Christ, wrap our minds around what's going on, what are the speed bumps to our faith? those moments that lead to confusion or wandering or even doubt. And more importantly, where do we turn in those moments? When we have that confusion and that doubt and the questioning and the wondering, where do we turn? When Jesus isn't quite who we thought he was, or when God isn't working in our lives the way we thought he should, in those moments of confusion and doubt and even anger, when things aren't clear, I want you to see how we aren't directed to the events of our lives for answers. Things start making sense. We break through the confusion, not when we look to ourselves, but when we remember what God said. When we look to God's word. And in each of these examples of confusion, their attention is brought back to what God said. What did God say? What did he tell you? Remember what he said while he was still with you. And that's our second point this morning, remembering what God said. How do we get through the confusion? We get through it by remembering God's word, remembering what he has said. And with each of these examples, the response from the angel or Jesus involves remembering what had been spoken. The women get a very gentle rebuke. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? To get from this confusion and to understanding, the angel directs the women to what Jesus had told them. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember what he said? Remember what he told you? Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful man and be crucified and rise on the third day. Verse 8. Then they remembered his words, or they were reminded of his words because it's passive. And what's going on here is Jesus told everyone what was going to happen. He explained it in great detail. We've seen that as we've been looking at Luke. And it's only when we look at what God says will happen that we begin to understand what's happening. Same is true for the road to Emmaus. The two travelers there, they're struggling and they're confused. But once again, you get this rebuke in verse 25. Jesus tells them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe. So they're struggling with faith. All that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer and these things and enter into his glory? And then verse 27, what does Jesus do? He begins with Moses and the prophets. He begins with God's word, and he's interpreting all of God's word, all of the Bible, and showing how it all points to him. So here you have Christ on the road to Emmaus giving these two travelers a Christ-centered message from all of Scripture. And they still don't get it. Because their eyes are still closed. They still don't understand. He's telling them how the entire Bible points to Christ and how all these things are the unfolding of God's promises. And in their doubt and in their confusion and in their helplessness, Jesus comes to them and says, remember what God has said. And then they get to the town, they get to Emmaus, and Jesus acts like he's going to go further, and they encourage him, no, it's getting late, you know, the day's already spent, you know, come in, have a meal with us. And Jesus takes the bread. They sit down at the table together, and he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, when he had blessed it, he broke it and gave it to them. And in that moment, their eyes are opened. They realize who this is. They realize that it's Christ. You turn back to Luke 22. When Jesus was celebrating the Passover Thursday evening with his followers, with his disciples, celebrating the Passover, turning it into the Lord's Supper. Verse 19 says, and he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And now these two on the road to Emmaus just heard a Christ-centered message from all of Scripture, and they're breaking bread with Jesus, and what's happening? They're remembering. They're recognizing who he is, remembering what God had said. And just like that, he's gone again. And what do? This is kind of funny. They head back to Jerusalem. Remember, they told Jesus, oh, it's getting late. You know, better stay here, have a meal with us. And that very hour, they don't even finish their meal. They're back to Jerusalem to let the disciples know what has happened, that he has risen. Jesus has given us his word and the sacraments to trigger our memories, to help us recognize him, to strengthen his faith. Their eyes are open. They finally figured it out because God had given them the insight, the understanding to recognize Jesus. It's not something that we do on our own or something that we accomplish, but rather it's a work that God does within us, moving us from wandering to remembering. Same things happened with the disciples. He comes and they're wondering, well, what's going on here? He spoke to them, these are my words that I spoke to you, reminding them, well, here's what I said to you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then what did Jesus do? Then he opened their minds to understand Scripture. We pray the prayer of illumination. Lord, help us to understand, because it's only when God gives us the eyes to see that we will understand, that we will recognize him by faith. Now, what does all of this mean for us? What it means is that in our moments of confusion and doubt, wondering what God is doing or not doing in our lives, we need to be turning to his word. Notice how it's Jesus who came to them. Jesus came to the travelers on the road to Emmaus. He came to his disciples. And the same is true for us. Jesus comes to us in our weakness and in our confusion, in our doubts and in our frustrations. And it's when we look at God and what he has said to us that things begin to make sense. In your confusion, in your weak moments, during the testings of your faith, remember what God has said. Turn to his word. Remember what he's told you. I am your God. I will never leave you or forsake you. I love you, sent my son for you. I care about you. I uphold you with my fatherly hand. Nothing happens outside of my control. I work all things for the good of those who love me. When we remember what God has said, when we remember his word, we start to see things clearly, and that brings us to our third and final point. We start recognizing Jesus. Recognizing Jesus. The women remembered his words, or they were caused to remember. They were reminded. At once, they got it. Once they remembered Christ's word, they came back from the tomb telling the disciples what had happened. On the road to Emmaus, they hear an entire sermon from Jesus, working his way through the Old Testament, showing how all the passages point to him. They have a meal together, and finally their eyes are opened and they recognize him. And when they look back, they say, weren't our hearts burning within us as he walked with us and talked with us on the road and opened scriptures to us? But notice that they didn't just sit there and finish their meal. They ran and shared this good news, the gospel good news. They ran and shared it with the disciples all the way back to Jerusalem, 7 miles. The good news that he is risen. And then we have the disciples. One of the truths that we see from this Easter story is that at first, the disciples, even the disciples themselves, didn't really understand what's going on. Didn't even believe that this could be possible. They thought that the women were just speaking idle tales. No, it's not even possible. And that just goes to prove that the disciples didn't make this up. This isn't some kind of plot that they created and to steal the body of Jesus, they themselves went through this process of being confused, wondering what's happening, being reminded of God's word, and then recognizing Jesus, and then getting to the point of sharing the good news. Verse 45. Then he opened their minds to understand scripture. Do you see how each example here, whether it's the women, the travelers on the road to Emmaus, or even the disciples, they had their minds opened. They had their eyes opened. They were illumined. Then he opened their minds to understand scripture, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer on the third day, and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. And there you have the heart of what recognizing Jesus is all about. Repentance. Us turning away from our sin and turning to Christ. Forgiveness of sins. This is my body broken for you for the complete forgiveness of all your sins. Here's the gospel message. Christ has died for sin and has risen again. Do you recognize him? Where are you at in this process this morning? Are you still in the confusion stage, wondering what's going on? How is this possible? Maybe you're remembering what God has said. Maybe you're recognizing Jesus as your risen Lord and Savior. Why is this such good news? It's good news because this means that Jesus is stronger than death itself. And that those who believe in him, those who recognize him as their Savior, his resurrection from the dead is our resurrection as well. That his life and death on the cross was enough to pay for all our sins. Easter confirms the forgiveness of sins. The good news for you this morning, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Your sins have been paid for. They have been forgiven. And you can look forward to the new body that is coming and this eternal life and resurrection that is yours in Jesus Christ. And something to realize here is that while the point that Luke is making is about recognizing Jesus, what happens after people recognize Jesus? All three examples. The women recognize it, they get it, and what do? They go and share the good news with the disciples. The travelers on the road to Emmaus, their eyes are opened. They didn't finish their meal. They went and shared the good news of the gospel. And in the same way, the disciples are told to go and share this good news, this gospel good news. You are witnesses of these things. I'm sending you the promise of the Father. Stay here in the city until I send you the Holy Spirit. Go proclaim this repentance and forgiveness to all nations. And that's the commission, that's the command that's true for us this Easter morning as well. Right after they realize what has happened, that Jesus has risen from the dead, that he was just walking with us and reaching out, they go and tell the good news. That's why once they realize and recognize and begin to understand what's taking place, each of these people go and share the good news that Christ has risen. Wondering, first of all, remembering what God's word says, and third and finally, recognizing Jesus. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come before you this morning, thanking and praising you for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And no matter where we're at this morning, Lord, we pray that you will continue your work in our hearts as we go from the confusion and the wondering to remembering what you have told us in your word, to recognizing Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And even now, as we get ready to come to your table together, you took the bread and broke it, and blessed it, and gave it to them. Open our eyes so that we will recognize Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.